Hello, everyone. Welcome back for another visit to the Awesome Village. My name is Greg, and joining me is...
Ryan.
John.
Glenn.
Heather.
So, yes, my beautiful wife of now 1 year is joining us.
We had an anniversary yesterday.
We had an anniversary.
Yay!
Yeah,
I can't believe we made it this far and I didn't kill you yet.
Yeah, it's...
I can't believe that either, Heather.
I know.
Good for you.
I'm actually a little disappointed that you haven't killed him.
When we were on that building yesterday that I might be pushed off, but... You
kind of always have that fear when you're on a...
Well,
building.
That's very true, but...
Yeah, I figured I wasn't going to make it worse this time around.
You remember
but...
that episode of Nip Tuck?
Dude, I was just about to say the exact same thing.
Christian Troy was having sex with some chick and, like, banged her right off the top of the building.
I haven't watched the show in a long time.
If you gotta go, go.
That show was awesome when it started, and it got pretty bad towards the end.
It got really weird.
It got really weird.
I just want to see
obviously.
The one scene now.
Yeah. You'd probably like the beginning couple of seasons.
Yeah, the first few seasons were really good.
Remember when we were watching those DVDs during Katrina?
Oh, man, yeah. It had a really creepy, like theme song.
Let me see if I can find it.
And Glenn and I, yeah, everybody was staying in my apartment in Baton Rouge. Like, Glenn was there, my parents, like, everybody was there. So, Glenn and I, we had a couch that had the two ends were recliners.
All I heard was hurricane party and booze.
Yeah, pretty much. And we got, and Glenn bought the DVD set of the first season of Nip Tuck.
Well, because this was before streaming, and
yeah,
no
streaming.
And there was no, the cable was out because of the storm, so
right.
We were just...
Right, so we had a couch in the living room that both ends of the couch were recliners. So that's where Glenn and I were sleeping on the two recliners. And I guess we just fell asleep one night, and the DVD menu was just playing, and it was that creepy song playing all night.
Make
and it was the most like disturbing thing. Like,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really weird.
But in all honesty, you should. What we did yesterday for the anniversary, I don't know if it's View Orleans, which would make sense, or if it's View Orleans, but. It's the old World Trade Center building that's now Four Seasons.
Okay.
And the little circular thing on the top of it, they've converted it into this, like, viewing that you can go up there and kind of look. And actually added another floor so you can go on the roof. So when you go in, this is the first time that I've been. A friend from work recommended it. But you go in, and it's like a museum, and it's interactive. It's not touch-based, but, like, you point at the screen recognizes your hands there, and you move the cursor.
Basically, you become a magic wand. It
was
pretty cool.
It was pretty awesome. And so you can learn things about New Orleans, and then there's a little... area that talks about New Orleans food. So you pick off the menu, and then the display shows people that show you how to make those dishes and gives you the recipe. And then there's like a little music area and all that kind of stuff. But the view, it's like a 360 view of everything. And I wanted to kind of challenge myself with my fear of heights to kind of go up there and you know.
Was it the 34th floor?
34th floor, and then the 34th floor is the very top. The 33rd floor is the gallery with the little the windows and everything. When you go to the 34th floor, it goes right out into this like concrete area that they've added. You can do a whole walk around. And I was kind of surprised because we went up there and we had a little cheese plate and some wine. And
it
we
was
sat
a distraction.
There,
it was
she
a
tried
distraction.
To distract me to make me feel more comfortable. But it was. I kind of was proud because I got up there and didn't feel so bad. Like still, if I look down, I get kind of that vertigo. But I was able to look out and we really enjoyed ourselves. It was good. Got some good pictures.
Yep, no puking.
No puking.
No puking.
Have you puked before?
I have puked before.
From
in
that?
In fact, we went to... Glenn and I went to... Wasn't it the Taylor Swift concert or whatever?
Oh, God.
Was it?
We went to... Like,
it was a concert.
The arena. And we first, because Glenn had a friend that was going to get us into a lower level seat. We just had to go sit for like the opening act and in this one area.
Oh, yeah. This was like... This was a long... Like, she was just coming out.
Yeah,
like,
so it was just kind of... So we go to... the thing, and we go to like it was supposed to be like 317 level. So we go and start going up the stairs, and I happened to turn my head, and I just started feeling dizzy. So I went downstairs and went to the bathroom, and I vomited like.
And then my friend
Damn.
Ended up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ended up getting those like handicap seats that never get used.
Yeah. No, like,
because
first.
You puked.
No. He was always going to be getting us down to this like VIP area.
No, I like it better because you puked.
Well, okay, if you want to think that's fine, but that's not why it happened.
Yeah, I think the combination of the two of you at a Taylor Swift concert and you vomiting from going up, everything about it is just hilarious
I'm
to me.
I'm glad that you think that, right?
It's, God.
I mean, we're just going to chump it up as you got dizzy, you puked, and then they were like, damn, this motherfucker here because he puked because of heights. Like, we're just going to make
this
a disability.
This was the arena? Have you never been to the Dome and had to go up to the...
No, I whenever went to the Dome, I always had tickets for lower
prices. That'll be an experience for you.
My mom actually was telling us earlier how she took me to...
I don't know, because the arena's a lot steeper.
You think so?
I don't know. No, it 100%
yeah, it is.
How do you know if you ain't been to the Dome yet?
No, I've been to the Dome.
No, I mean the top levels.
I've been to the top levels, but I've not...
The arena's definitely steeper.
Really?
Because I've been to the top levels and gone out, I know better than to do it. That's what mom was saying earlier. When I was a kid, she took me up there, and she's like, I made the mistake of taking out when there was nobody out around. And I kind of, she's like, when you had people around, you were doing better. And like, we went to Katy Perry once. And
don't point at me. I wasn't there.
Yeah,
you were there.
I don't think I was there.
I'm reasonably certain you were.
I was there, unfortunately.
But we had like the 301 row, and we were right at the edge.
Yeah, we were right on
that. And I did fine with that because I could kind of get my bearings and see. But when I had to go up on that steep incline was where there was a problem.
Do you ever think maybe if you just have a few drinks before you do these things, you'll be all right?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll find out.
I mean, I'm not talking about getting wasted, but just something to take the edge off.
Right.
I remember the Katy Perry concert because I was very upset because Karen just asked me kind of randomly one time, do you want to go to a Katy Perry concert? And I was like, yeah, whatever. I guess get the tickets. And then I found out later that it was like the Saints opening game that same night.
Well, because remember we... All right, so I was with you. And the girls all got the tickets. And it was... They got the tickets like a year before. And then they announced the Saints game. So, and it just sort of...
So I'm like sitting there pissed off that I'm missing this game. And we got a recording. And then Katy Perry just in the middle of it just says, tells everybody what the score is. Like,
damn.
So you can kind of hear like every guy that's there with his girlfriend and the entire thing go, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. That was so wrong of her. Yeah. I don't know. That she just lost some brownie points in my eyes just now.
Well, she she's a little bit more of an exhibitionist these days than anything. Well, yeah. You watch her on Witcher Medinky, she's on American Idol now?
How about the Idol?
The Idol.
Oh, okay.
She just kind of like, give me attention is kind of how I think about Katy Perry now. But not her. We went to Josephine Estelle after for dinner.
Sounds like a school.
Well, it kind of does.
It sounds really sophisticated. I was kind of worried that
it's
maybe
in the Ace Hotel.
The wrong place to
sounds
go.
Like a
but
hardware
it
store.
Was actually a pretty cool vibe. So.
It's a hardware.
Yeah, it's an Italian restaurant, which we got to have a couple dishes and try that out.
So I just recently saw your pics. Was it like a small plate restaurant?
No, we weren't overly hungry.
Oh, so you just got some appetizers. Okay.
We got two appetizers and we got a thing of pasta. Like, the pasta's kind of... It's enough for one. Like I could have eaten that pasta by myself and been fine. But we just chose to kind of split it and get a little feeling for the menu.
Gotcha.
That dessert was out of sight.
What was dessert?
It was orgasmic. It was orgasmic. That was
peanut butter budini or something. It was.
I'm sold.
It's so, basically a peanut butter mousse with chocolate, whipped cream, peanuts, and peanut brittle.
Okay, it was caramel.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
Jesus. Yeah.
Sounds really rich, but it was because of the smooth and the whippedness of it that it would just, all of it was just great together.
Oh. Sounds good.
Mm. Okay. Anyways.
So it was a good time. We had a really good evening. Had a nice little whiskey drink and you drink the vodka drink or no, it was a tequila drink. There we go.
It had tequila in it.
Right. As they say in France, tequila.
Yeah.
Tequila?
Tequila. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I discovered I'm allergic to alligator.
Did you really?
So yeah, we went to the alligator festival in St. Charles Parish.
First off, I didn't know there was an alligator festival.
Oh yeah, that, it's,
this is Louisiana. This is a festival.
It's
for
huge.
Everything.
It's like their version of like Gretna Fest or whatever. Like there was bands and booths and it was. I mean, so it was gigantic. So Sandra wanted to go, so we went with some of her friends and we're walking around in like all the food booths and I'm like, well, we're at the alligator festival. I want to try some alligator. So they were selling like this giant alligator sausage, like a hot dog.
Hmm.
So I got it and I ate it and it was fine. Just
tastes like chicken.
Yeah, it tastes like chicken. And as we're sitting there, like we're going and going through like the rides and everything, and I'm like, I feel kind of funny. And then the more I'm talking to Sandra, I'm like, I can't feel my tongue.
You got numb tongue?
And Sandra's like, excuse me? And I'm like, yeah, my tongue just went numb.
How dare your tongue go numb?
Yeah. And
bro.
She's like, well, that's not good. And then I'm like,
that's not good.
And then I'm like, it feels really funny. And then one of her friends that's with us, Jonathan, he's allergic to everything. And he's telling me, does it feel like the back of your throat's kind of itching and you can't scratch it? And I'm like, yes. And he's like, yeah, that's not good. You need a lot of Benadryl right now. because you're allergic to something.
I think you and her had the calmest reaction.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm having an allergic reaction right now.
We probably didn't realize.
Yeah, because I was just sort of like, I feel really funny.
Was there cranberry in the
I don't think alligator? So. No, the cranberry just makes me itch. It just makes me break out. I've never felt like this before. But yeah, I totally had numb tongue.
God damn. Yeah.
Had you ever had alligator?
The only time I ever think I had it was at Giacomo's, was that cheesecake, alligator, and
if it was,
and
if,
I don't know how much of it.
Yeah,
was
I was going to say like it's probably a small amount, right?
Yeah. But yeah, that was really weird.
Interesting. I'm glad you're still alive.
All right, well, glad you're
still alive. Yeah, I'm still here.
Well, you know, I guess we can follow this up by talking about Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yeah.
I guess I wasn't a celebrity, but I might have been in Jeopardy.
Yeah.
It's a monopoly of a world here.
Oh, look what you did.
So you watched Ryan?
I did. I watched it as well. Started this Sunday. I think it's going to be on weird nights, like a Thursday and a Sunday going forward or something.
I don't know.
I set it to record, but...
Yeah, I just saw that I was flipping through the channels waiting for the Sunday night football game to come on. And
yeah.
It was on.
It's like it's going to be like a tournament, actually. And the first match was Andy Richter. I don't remember who that comedian was.
Egon Norton. She's on SNL.
Yeah, I don't watch SNL right now. I just haven't.
That's why they had categories that were like kind of made for all of them.
Right.
And one of the categories is Dionne Warwick.
And Shang-Chi.
And Simu Liu was on it.
And it was good. It was very funny.
Let me just point out Simu Liu.
That's his
name. Simu Liu, the guy that played Shang-Chi.
Okay.
Yeah.
He just sounds very sexual.
Why?
I mean, he's an attractive man.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's his name.
But yeah, they had Triple Jeopardy.
Triple Jeopardy?
It was like on for an hour, and I'm like, the commercial breaks were like really long. I was complaining about that. I'm like, are they really going to drag this thing out for, like, there was like almost 30 minutes left, and they were up to Final Jeopardy, I thought. And then
I really Maya did.
Biala came on, she's like, now it's time for the first ever Triple Jeopardy.
So here's the thing about the Triple Jeopardy was it was dumb, because it was... Triple Jeopardy was technically the first round.
Ryan's astute analysis.
Well, no, because I watched Jeopardy, and the first round of this show, like the money values were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Where on normal Jeopardy, it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 1,000.
Right.
So like they just basically like made the first round's money a lot less. So by the time they got to the final round, which was the third, it was the normal Jeopardy totals basically. It was a little weird.
That kind of sucks.
They just made that round just to extend it a little bit longer for the celebrities. It was fine. I didn't have a problem with it, but. They definitely make Celebrity Jeopardy for children.
Who?
Do we have any potent potables?
Who was
on
it?
I was hoping for it. We just said.
Simu Liu.
Andy Richter and Shang-Chi.
There we go. None of these people I know.
Shang-Chi is
Simu
Liu, Ryan.
Yeah, I know, but I'm going to call him Shang-Chi.
Well, who is the third person? I didn't know the third person.
Andy Richter.
And Andy Richter.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Now we go.
Blonde moment.
It was a very exciting finale. Final Jeopardy category and the way that played out. It was good. Maya Bialik. I like Ken Jennings. I don't have a problem with him, but I think Maya Bialik's better as a host.
All right.
But there's apparently another listing here, Celebrity Wheel of Fortune.
I didn't watch that.
So you guys need to watch that, especially this first episode that aired, because it was Mark Duplass, I think it is.
Oh, yeah. Of the Duplass brothers.
And yeah, the girl in it was one of the characters from Insecure. I don't remember her name, but the main star was Snoop Dogg. On
Hell
Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it was hilarious.
Martha help him?
No, they did talk about it a lot. In fact, one of the puzzles was baked brownies, and Snoop buzzed in and was like, baked onions. And like Pat Sajak just busted out laughing. The whole show, like, he would say these random things, and I'm telling you, you got to watch because it's hilarious. But he ends up doing quite well in the first. They do two rounds. They play one whole game, then they play another whole game. And it's a lot of fun. Like, Snoop Dogg made that. I don't know who's going to be in the next episode, but clearly they got to have somebody who's
Was Pat Sajak.
Yep, and Vanna. And Snoop shot his shot at Vanna. He's like, hey, Vanna, how you doing, baby?
Oh, yes. I need to watch this now.
Don't turn these letters.
How is she looking? Does she look the same?
She still looks good. And
does.
Pat Sajak looks amazing, too. He does not age.
See, man. I wish I was a celebrity. I'd look like
I
wouldn't
be aging
either.
Well, you gotta be a game show. Apparently there's a hospital that takes care of them and injects them with the right fluids.
He doesn't look like he's had a lot of work done, though. I mean, I'm sure he has, but whoever's doing the work on him is...
Like, that is probably a cushy gig. You record multiple shows in a day. You don't really work all week. That'd be a nice job.
Maybe.
But you know what probably isn't too nice of a job? Quantum leaping through history.
That's right. So this
I watched the first episode.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet, and I'm upset.
So I loved Quantum Leap when I was a kid. So this show starred Scott Bakula, and it ran for 5 seasons, kind of in the early 90s. And it's been 30 years, and it's kind of always had kind of a very kind of small cult following. And they recently, all the classic episodes are in Peacock, and we have a new Quantum Leap, which I will say they're promoting this as a reboot, and it's actually a sequel.
That's what I had heard, it was a sequel. Like, they were just picking up
Sam
Beckett's research.
They mentioned Sam Beckett and Al Calavici, the characters from the original. Their computer Ziggy is back. And I'm not going to give too much away, but there are a lot of references to the original one. But if you've never seen the original one, you don't really need to. They're more like Easter eggs, and they explain kind of, the project from 30 years ago. And there's a new doctor, Dr. Ben Song, played by Raymond Lee, which if you've seen Kevin Can F Himself, he's in that.
He was in Top Gun Maverick.
He was in Top Gun.
Oh, that's okay. He looked familiar.
I love that movie.
There was the YouTube's got a lot of like commercials for Quantum Leap in between videos.
Right, and he's great. He's the new Leaper, so...
I think in Maverick, when there was like, I remember there was two pilots who were like Yale and Harvard. I think he's one of them.
I think you're right.
Like when you said that, it clicked in my head.
But, he gets into the accelerator, and the first episode, he jumps back to 1985, I think, because Live Aid's going on when he jumps in. And just like the original one, he has partial amnesia, so he kind of doesn't remember who he is or where he's from. And, a new actress by the name of Caitlin Bassett plays Addison, his observer from the future, who appears in the form of a hologram and kind of, you know, helps him kind of figure out, because the whole purpose of Quantum Leap is he has to correct a mistake in history to put right what once went wrong before he can move on to the next life. And he replaces the person he leaps into. So the first episode, he's a getaway driver, and there are a group of people that are trying to steal the Hope Diamond. And
then we hear no more, because no giveaways.
Right, no giveaway. Other than the one thing that I will say that separates this from the original one is there's a lot more in the quote-unquote present, where there's... all right, so the original Quantum Leap was very much a episodic show, where you could just kind of put it on any episode and just sort of watch it. This one, and the leaps in this one, it's kind of similar, but there's an ongoing mystery involving kind of why he leaped. And
his team, and they're trying to get him back.
Team's trying to get him back, and they're trying to find out why he leaped.
Yeah.
And
so, I mean, there's like a whole team of characters that are like...
And Ernie
Hudson... That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, Ernie Hudson is kind of in charge of everything, and he plays a character named Magic Williams, and this really isn't giving anything away. There's an kind of a classic episode of the original series called The Leap Home, Part 1 and 2.
Had you not told me this beforehand, I would have not put that together at all.
Sam leaped into a character in the Vietnam War named Magic Williams, and Ernie Hudson
and
plays
he's
him.
Military now.
Yeah, Ernie Hudson plays him. Yeah.
Hey, do they... Where do the original people go when he leaps into their bodies?
All right, so there's a place called The Waiting Room.
In the future?
Yeah. So they're sitting in the future, and there's scenes especially in the fifth season, where there's a couple scenes in Project Quantum Leap in the future where they're questioning them to see, like, you know, they're trying to figure out why Sam, or in this case Ben, has leaped in there. Now, this new one, they haven't really mentioned the waiting room, so I think that might be something that they've kind of eliminated, where it's more like him combining with the person he's leaped into.
Okay.
Because it is 30 years later, and, you know, the technology has changed, but... there's a really fun character named Ian Wright, who's kind of like the computer person, and it's a non-binary actor named Mason Alexander Park, who was in... he was in Sandman.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And they're very good.
Yeah. In Sandman, it was...
it was Desire.
Desire, yeah.
Right, and I think they were also in... was it Cowboy Bebop? I think he was... They were in that, but... very good, very likable character. I could see Ian kind of being the fan favorite. But so far, I'm really digging this episode. I will say I thought the second one was better than the first, because there was some kind of behind-the-scenes drama when they filmed the pilot. NBC liked it enough to greenlight it, but they thought it was a little too, like, tailor-made to people who like fans of the original one, and they wanted to bring in new viewers, so they had them film a new pilot, and it was a lot shorter. So it was like they had to fit everything, like the whole backstory and everything, in the 42 minutes, and the pacing was crazy in the first episode. It was very good, but it was just, it was paced very fast. Mm-hmm. The second episode, they don't have to do all the exposition, so they get a little more time to do stuff. And from what I understand, most of the stuff that they filmed for the pilot's going to be the sixth episode, so it's going to be interesting. But yeah. It comes on Mondays on NBC and Tuesdays on Peacock. I'm digging this. I hope.
I just watched the first one. I really liked it.
Yeah. Sandra really liked it,
too. Yeah, Karen liked it, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a watch. I have it it's set to record on my DVR. Yeah. And speaking of history, I got to watch the first of the three-part, if I'm not mistaken, miniseries on HBO Max, Gunpowder.
With Kit Harington.
It stars good old Jon Snow, and it's about the gunpowder plot in England with Guy Fawkes.
Why did you watch this without me? Juan?
Well, I was looking for something to watch, and you were working, and I decided to fire this up, and I'm like, let me give this a watch. I stopped at the first one because I wanted you to watch it.
Okay.
But it's not like, he's not playing Guy Fawkes, which kind of, at first I was like, oh, he's going to be cool, he'll be Guy Fawkes. He's a different character entirely. But it's a lot about, if you like history, this is going to, it's a good one that kind of, Liv Tyler's in it as well. But it goes into like the persecution of Catholicism at the time, you know, like how kind of rampant they were against, you know, religious persecution, and it's very interesting. It's normal. It's like Jon Snow in, you know, in Guy Fawkesian times.
He knows nothing.
He knows nothing, but he's very. It's like he plays a character who's very. He's very like trouble. Like he's passionate enough where he causes trouble for himself all the time. So you can see while he gets wrapped up in the gunpowder plot. But it's funny because there's all these like people that they're trying to do like subterfuge and infiltrate the people that are like basically being Catholics. There's a whole network that they'll hide priests and stuff like that. It's just a fascinating setup for a series. Well, you know, a mini series in this case.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see the other couple parts.
It's HBO, right?
HBO Max, yes.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, speaking of, like, Jon Snow, you know, the whole House of Dragons thing, I'm on board. I'm with it.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Don't say anything about the last episode. Hubby hasn't watched it yet.
Yeah,
I haven't seen the last one yet, either.
Well, that's okay, but, like, it's ramping up.
There was dragons in it.
It was, it's were ramping there up.
House of them?
Mm-hmm. Were there houses?
So,
there
were. But y'all did watch, like, the fourth and fifth episode. Already,
no,
right?
I'm too behind.
Ryan. Okay, well, I'm just going to let you know, Ryan, the fourth episode is, like, foreplay, and the fifth episode, like, we're getting into it.
I thought the fifth one was... Wait, what episode just came out?
Six.
I don't know. Six is good.
And the sixth episode. This isn't giving
away. But the eighth episode is enough.
That's the sixth episode is where they have the 10-year time jump.
Yeah. Yes.
So yeah. The new actors and stuff.
I'm just saying, if you're not caught with the fourth and the fifth, the fourth is
it's really good.
And the fifth, you get into it. So, it's very good.
The only reason I haven't caught up is because I can't have children around when I put it on.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, no, I got you. We live the lives.
So, and tell me if you agree, because me and Karen said the same thing, and this isn't giving anything away in the episode. The kid who plays the oldest, Allison's oldest son in the time jump or whatever, it's David Tennant's son.
Yeah.
Doesn't he look exactly like the kid from, like, Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things?
So wait. Yes. I saw the picture, and someone said it's a combination of all the kids from Stranger Things in one person.
So, yeah, no, I'm totally with you on this, but I had no idea who that was until you just said that.
Yeah.
It's David Tennant's son, yeah.
Is he coming to make an appearance? Because my world.
No,
would be...
he's busy doing Doctor Who's 60th anniversary.
Okay, my goddamn! But like, if we get David Tennant and Matt Smith in an episode,
that would be cool.
Can we just talk
George R. R. Martin? We're talking to you, buddy.
Bro, can we just talk about how epic that motherfucking shit would be?
Yeah. He wrote it's like a historical kind of book.
I mean, I know he did that, but
he's actually more involved in this.
That's
than
what I was. I didn't know he was doing anything with the show. He didn't really do much with Game of Thrones.
He wrote an episode every season. And he was a consultant.
Okay. And all I'm going to say about that kid's character is there's just the scene with a window ledge. That's all I'm going to say.
Can't wait for you guys to find out. But
you gotta see it.
But yeah, if we're on that subject too, like the show Snow, this is a thing that's happening.
Yeah, but right? Now they're saying they don't know if it might just be like a mini limited series. So it might just be like one.
Which I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
I think I would be okay with, as long as they don't screw him. Like...
Well, I think they might be doing this to kind of rectify some of the things people didn't like about the last episode, because otherwise it'd go. I mean, this would be a good way of kind of continuing the characters in that people didn't get satisfying resolutions for. Like if they did an Arya miniseries.
I mean, I'd fuck with that and find out. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
So you hear HBO Max? We're calling you out.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if you want to redo after season 8, episode 3, the whole ending of that shit, I might be on board to help you out with that.
No, that would be a bad idea. Ideas.
What was the Naomi Watts one supposed to be about? Did we even find out what it was going to
really
be about?
Say. I think it might have been another like prequel type thing.
Okay.
So yeah, from the sins of Guy Fawkes to the sins of the mother, Ryan.
Yeah, I,
tell us about this.
This was a three-part true crime documentary series on Netflix. I thought it was just going to be like a simple little true crime story about the absurdity of the Mormon religion, but that was not what it was about. It had to do with this woman. She was a part of the Mormon faith and everything was, you know, just carrying on with her life. And then she sort of gets involved with, like, she's a woman who's just not lucky in love. She's like been divorced like twice, and the last guy she gets with is like one of these end of the world type people.
Oh boy.
And sort of basically convinces her that they need to prepare for the end of the world and all this different stuff. And he comes up with this like rating system for people where they have a certain amount of bright like lightness and darkness in them. And he rates everyone and gets her to rate her own children. And
so how many thetans they have?
Sort of. And like her own daughter, she rates as like a 4 in the darkness, which is like the highest you can go is 6.
Damn.
It gets really weird. And like her ex-husband, who is the father of these kids, is like getting kind of terrified. And basically things just get really bad. And it goes from like sort of a mystery to really dark to really horrible. And I'll say this without spoiling everything. If you watch it's only 3 episodes, but it's not over yet. Like,
nah.
When it ends, there's a conclusive ending, sort of, but like the final resolution is still pending based on the courts. So it's not really over yet. Actually, it won't end until 2023. So,
see, I dig series and programs and stuff like that. Like the whole Jeffrey Dahmer thing, I'm about to go slap myself with that world because I know there's a couple episodes and I haven't gotten into them yet.
Look at you segueing into the next show we're going to talk about.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I watched the first 2 episodes of this.
Hate you.
Is it just called Dahmer?
It's just called Dahmer. Because I wanted to, I thought honestly you guys would have jumped on.
Well, I'm
going to
call him by his government name.
Yeah, good old Jeff. but I mean, I remember that we kind of grew up. We were, you know, adolescents at the time that this happened. But the miniseries is by Ryan Murphy. We were talking about Nip Tuck beforehand. And it stars Evan Peters. And
he plays a lot of killers.
You know, it's kind of funny. I'm glad we got to see him as Quicksilver, so he's a little bit happy. But this show, first off, I looked at a couple interview clips with Dahmer after they had caught him and talking. And it's eerie how much he's, like, inhabiting this character.
Is Ryan Murphy the guy who did, like, the American Horror Stories?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why that guy's in this.
Oh, yeah. He plays a lot of killers.
Yeah.
He does
basically, I'm stereotyped.
Yeah, so I'm...
Yeah, he's typecast.
Typecast, that's what it is. Shit.
Well, he did the Versace one and the O.J. Simpson.
The Versace one was really good.
Yeah.
Well, this is... So far, it's very... My mom and dad actually watched the entirety of it.
The Dahmer show?
Yeah. It's 10 episodes, but the 2 that I've watched so far, it dives heavily into... Like, the first episode is basically, like, him getting captured, and then it kind of flashes back in the next couple episodes to kind of what he was doing. And I get a lot of people are turned off. They don't shy away from the gore in it, but in like a way that's like, this is what happened kind of thing.
Well,
like,
I mean, I don't know if you guys have watched any of the, is it Ted Bundy? And then what was the other guy?
It was Ted Bundy and John Wayne Gacy.
So I watched both of those. Yeah.
I couldn't get into that. You liked that one. I mean, you told me about it.
Like, I didn't watch the Bundy one. I watched the Gacy one.
The Gacy
one.
One's disturbing.
Gacy one is crazy. You talking about the interview? Than the Ted Bundy.
Yeah, the tapes.
The tapes. Yeah, I couldn't get into it. I liked the show, the true crime documentary series.
That's what I watched.
That was good.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the Zac Efron or the...
No, no, no. You talked about this before. It was like him being interviewed in jail, right? That was the one you had saw.
That's Ted Bundy.
No, that's John Wayne Gacy.
I thought it was both of them.
That's what you had saw.
That's what Greg saw.
Well, I watched the documentary first.
Yeah, there was another one.
And then I watched
after
the film with Zac Efron.
It was like a 3-episode thing about Bundy.
Right. That's the tapes.
It wasn't the tapes. It wasn't about him being recorded like after it was about what he did, and it was
No, that's what this show the tapes ones do that. The John Wayne Gacy one does too.
I don't think we're talking about the same thing.
I'm really reasonably certain we are. I think you're just making this more complex than it is. But you always do that, Ryan. That's just how you are.
I mean, I can't help it if I'm right and you're wrong.
You see Captain looking motherfucker.
I feel like someone's about to squash this.
I know John's looking it up.
Right now.
Because the thing that you're talking about, I thought, like John Dre, I thought they did like a couple series about the like tapes. It was mostly them being interviewed.
On Netflix, at least. It was just the conversations with the killer, the Ted Bundy tapes, and then the conversations with the killer, the John Wayne Gacy tapes.
Yeah.
And then there was the movie, The Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, which was the exact.
And there's another documentary.
Not on Netflix.
Not on Netflix.
So. It is on Netflix somewhere.
He's looking at Netflix right now.
I typed in Ted Bundy, and that's what came up.
I don't think his name was in the title of whatever the hell it was.
Well, his name's not in the title of these, but I'll find it.
I'm just saying, both of those really on track, really enjoyed them. So I think that once I dive into this Jeffrey Dahmer thing, I'm probably going to be on board and enjoy that too.
This is not a documentary, I'd love to watch a documentary on this just to compare it, but the show is incredibly like Evan Peters. What a freaking talent.
Can I ask you a question?
A question about this.
So I've heard some people critique not so much the quality, but is it glorifying him where it may inspire another killer?
I don't find that at all. I think if anything...
I heard that too.
Yeah.
And, what I've seen so far, it just kind of helps you kind of understand... They dived heavily into his life and where his upbringing impacted him. I don't think it glorifies it. Like, being a kid, he was off. But it does give you the idea of like this is where this killer's built from. Okay. Part of it's like nature, and part of it's heavy part of it's nurture.
Yeah,
I mixed up Gacy and Bundy.
Oh wait, you were wrong.
I was wrong.
You were wrong, Ryan. You were wrong.
I was wrong.
Oh, wow.
I was right, slightly mistaken.
All right, Ryan.
Look at this character development.
Slightly
Ryan.
Mistaken.
Oh no.
That's what you call growth, people. You're watching it right now.
Proud of you, Ryan.
My dad used to always say, I've only been wrong once in my life, and it was this time I thought I made a mistake, and I hadn't.
I'll look at that.
The shoes are tragic.
Yeah, the whole thing, like, the tragedy, my mom said this earlier when we were talking about it, is that there were so many opportunities that he could have gotten caught or this could have been stopped. And the tragedy is that wasn't listened to. Like, it was at a time where, he was very open. He would tell the police, like, they'd come in like, why is this young guy leaving your house naked? Oh, he's just drunk. It's my boyfriend. I'm homosexual.
It was the 90s, right?
92.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, it was basically because people didn't want to deal with it. They didn't understand it. And they didn't, you know, and they would kind of just let him get away with things. But there was, like, this smell that people would complain about all the time from his apartment.
Which was funny because this other dude, you know, what the hell, I just forgot his name again.
John Wayne Gacy?
Yeah, so this other dude just be burying people underneath his fucking house, dropping them through a hole, and no one ever said anything about any kind of smell or nothing.
We're covered in concrete.
But again,
it's concrete.
You know.
The demon Barbara Fleach.
What year was that? Was that like in the early 80s or the late 80s?
I think
like,
it was in the 70s.
Late 70s.
Late 70s, yeah. Ted Bundy's the same. I think Ted Bundy was in the 70s, wasn't he?
They really got some fucked up people in the 70s.
Because I think I remember him being executed when I was a kid.
Yeah, but it takes like about a decade for that to happen. So it's probably late 70s, early 80s.
I think it actually may have been a decade before they sentenced him to death, if I remember.
We'll have to go back and look. I'm all for watching true crime shit.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Night Stalker one?
No, I haven't yet.
That one's awesome. Y'all should watch
that. One of the better ones.
One thing that I haven't... Now, I'm not caught up like Glenn is, but I just started, at Glenn's suggestion, watching Star Trek Lower Decks.
That's right.
So I'm only like a season and two episodes in.
Okay.
But Glenn, you're caught up now.
I am caught up. Yeah, so season three, we are 5 episodes in the season 3 of Star Trek Lower Decks. And this is probably the first completely comedic Star Trek series. I mean, they've all had kind of funny episodes, but this is an animated show from the developers of Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And it's the adventures of the USS Cerritos, which is a California-class ship specializing in second contacts. And it's told from the point of view of the Lower Decks. So this show, Now, I will say, I wasn't the biggest fan of the first season. The second season I enjoyed more, and the third season, so far they are killing it with the Easter eggs, especially if you're fans of like Next Gen, Voyager, and Deep Space Nine.
Like the show.
It's really funny.
So I'll tell you my take on what I've seen so far. I really did like the first season. So far, I have thoroughly enjoyed the second season. What I love about it, though, is that it is like it's very plausible and very it's canon clearly.
Sure, yeah.
But it's like, yeah, if this was the type of people that were on the ship, it pokes fun at all the things of Star Trek.
Oh, it does.
It has a sense of humor about itself, and we revisit characters. Like, I love the fact that the new chief of security was one of the Darmok aliens.
Yeah, the Darmok guys, right.
And he had a translator that kept messing up.
That's right, yeah.
So I'm going to slide in here, because talking about things I've never seen before, John, what was the orgasmic face you made after taking a bite of that pedophore over there?
It's a delicious pedophore.
What kind of flavor is it?
It's like a caramel with pecan.
Oh, it's like a turtle?
Kind of. Oh. No chocolate, though.
Okay. I'm getting it now, okay, because I was holding the back of the head, and yeah, I was just like, turtle. Okay.
It's good. Have some. Good.
Right, so we're gonna slow down for a second as she takes a bite of this.
Stop it.
Pedophile. Here she goes. She's,
I feel like I'm not about to pull a John.
She's taking it out.
I don't think my eyes roll back in my head. I just looked at you and said, that's really fucking good.
I saw the eyes roll.
I don't know about all that.
Okay.
Pretty fucking good, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And these are from Haydale's.
Oh, and it's so moist.
Yeah.
I love that.
Somewhere right now, Amy's cringing. But yeah, Star Trek Lower Decks.
Yes.
I do like the characters are
they're good. Yeah.
A very funny kind of mix of people, and again, it speaks to all those tropes that we've like. I love the fact that there's Badgy,
this
program, and they keep referencing stuff like the things that are common knowledge in Starfleet, like Moriarty on the holodeck and
all that
kind of stuff. It's really a love letter to Star Trek.
So the last episode was called Reflections, and it was so full of Easter eggs because two of the characters need to go to, like, a job fair and put up a Federation booth, and they're right next to the Anomarine Count to Three species from Deep Space Nine, and they're yelling, why do you keep putting people in games? And it was just... And there's stuff with the Grand Nagus Scepter, and I mean, it's so many Easter eggs, but it's so
well
much.
The fact that they went back to that collector ship, the guy that took Data after he died, so they could take everything out of it, and it was booby trapped.
Exactly, but I mean the fact that they referenced the Osaka Masks episode. I mean, there's some deep cuts that Star Trek fans are gonna love.
But I also think too, like if we wanted to get like a Riker on the Titan show, animated might be the way to do it
because
with the appearances that we've had of the Titan so far, it looks like a. You know, Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis had a really good time.
Oh, I could tell you that. You can tell I had a really good time.
And I love how they take his jazz obsession to the next the next level.
But the show is just, it's a lot of fun. It definitely does not take itself seriously. It kind of reminds me of when Robot Chicken was doing the Star Wars things, where you could tell that the people that are doing the show are big fans of Star Trek, and they know, like, it's not really making fun of it. It's like kind of like laughing along with it. Like Star Trek fans all kind of have the same kind of jokes about different things, and it just leans heavily into this. And then a couple of the characters are going to make their live action debut apparently. And
really,
yeah, there's going to be a crossover episode with Strange New Worlds, where I think it's Boiler and it's Boimer and. Mariner are going to be on.
Are they going to be played by the same people?
The same actors. Yeah.
Jack Quaid and Star Trek. Oh.
So Jack Quaid's going to be on Strange New Worlds as
with his purple hair.
I believe so.
I'm so excited.
So
I love him.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun. So, but yeah, this show it's a lot of fun. It's on Paramount Plus. It's just if you're a Star Trek fan, you'll laugh. It's silly.
From the lower decks of space to the lower valley in California, Cobra Kai has debuted its fifth season.
I thought we talked about it last week.
No, we didn't record last week.
We recorded for a few weeks.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I only watched the first episode.
Uh-huh. What's wrong with you?
I finished it.
I was taking my time.
You weren't chosen?
I saw him.
Okay.
Did you finish it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what did y'all think?
I mean...
You were out one evening.
Oh, Heather, had you not finished it and Greg watched it without you? Did that happen? Did I just catch that?
See, I
didn't even start it.
Hmm. See, I waited for my girlfriend. That's why we're
well, okay, so
here's
the thing.
I watched the whole thing with Sandra.
This is why you're going to have a longer relationship than we are at this point now.
I wanted to make sure because my good friend Jimmy was saying how horrible the season was.
Jimmy?
Yeah.
Fuck Jimmy.
So your friend didn't like the show.
He didn't like, and I was like, "Well, okay, well, he, you know, let's see."
John didn't like it either.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said.
I enjoyed it.
So I was like, "Okay, let me kind of watch a couple episodes just to be ready for the podcast." And you were working, and then you were coming home late or whatnot. So I watched some episodes, and then before I knew it, I'm like, oh, that was the end of the show.
The end of the season. Mm-hmm. Just the whole motherfucker. Well, fuck you. I'm gonna watch it by myself.
I mean, I can tell you the first episode.
Bag of popcorn. I don't know if they're all. Tequila.
Well, I don't know if they're all like this. But the first episode was really quick. It was like 30 minutes, if that.
No, they kind of average somewhere around 38 minutes.
Yeah. So episode. I did not dislike it. I had a good time watching it, but it did get quite ridiculous.
It got cartoony.
It got cartoony in a lot of parts.
Well, and I'll tell you this: like the beginning of the show has its sense of humor about itself, and the first season. It's grounded, but there's a sense of humor. This was just like what Jimmy said about it that made me kind of go, oh, he said it's like a CW show.
Some of the stuff, the relationship stuff between some of the kids, I can see that.
That definitely. Was kind of always.
Yeah, that's kind of been like that since the beginning.
And whereas I saw what Jimmy wrote, and I do agree with some of what Jimmy wrote.
What Jimmy wrote? Who the hell is this guy?
On Facebook. This guy, the guy we went to high school with.
Who the fuck this guy is? Y'all are reading his writings and stuff.
It's not his
writing. Y'all made it sound like you
wrote it on Facebook. Writing. I didn't read his fucking journal. I
mean, well, he made my husband watch the show without me.
Yeah.
Jimmy wrote the scrolls.
You're on my shit list, Jimmy.
You hear that, Jimmy?
Anyway, I agree with a lot of the points that Jimmy made, but I do feel like it wasn't out of the blue.
Don't
it's been, no. It's been heading this way for a while.
Don't but disagree honestly, with Jimmy.
So here's the thing, like the cartooniness of it.
Jimmy doesn't like season
to John's point.
Down.
Jimmy thought it was clownish.
It's been kind of going on that like, because what do you do, right?
Right.
It's how do you maintain this level of drama?
They don't know what to do with Johnny anymore.
They really don't.
They have like yeah.
So let me just tell you something. I was very much respectful of the past seasons that we've had of this show and the ambiance that it's been paid to and the dues and then bringing some new things in and the flashbacks. Fuck with all of this. Please do not ruin this for me.
You're looking at me like I can't ruin this for you. The writers
fucking
can.
Netflix. Fucking
oh, okay.
Netflix
oh, no.
Writers of this show.
It's okay.
Can you not ruin it?
Terry Silver corrects everything.
No, Gary, like tell you what. Terry Silver's
good. Terry
Silver
is a very good villain.
And Chosen, I thought he was great in this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Jimmy like the villain?
Can't wait to see.
I honestly don't know. I don't
and
know
I will
if
say
you mentioned
the
it.
Is Jimmy the villain?
I mean, some people
maybe,
think so.
Maybe.
I do
he's
now.
A villain. He's a villain.
And the finale kind of takes place in two settings, and I'm just going to... It's not really a spoiler. There's a fight at Terry Silver's kind of house.
Yeah.
And that was very good. It was like
the Silver compound?
Yeah. Let me just point this out,
good.
Though. Like, we watched all of the seasons so far together, and now I'm just wondering, what the fuck?
Have you seen The Karate Kid Part 3?
No. I'm not watching that.
I'm not doing
you
that.
You should.
They
reference
of,
this heavily.
Yeah, they reference it, but they always, like, at the first episode, they, like, a throwaway line from the third movie is explained much clearer just in the show. So I'm like, I'll just stick with
that. And I will say, there's kind of you find out how Daniel met his wife. And I kind of like the way they did that.
Yeah,
I really like that too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
I've made bad choices in my life. You are not one of them.
You did a bad
I'm
bad
about thing. To be one of them.
Don't kill me. But yeah, I think, like, I didn't hate
Heather,
this season.
No mercy.
Yeah.
strike fast. Strike
man
hard.
Confront you in street, the enemy.
Jimmy wouldn't tolerate
like,
this.
I'm gonna break your damn kneecaps when we get home. Whoops, he just fell. Like, he's older than me, you know.
Jimmy got yeah. Greg in trouble.
Jimmy gonna die too.
Greg's down.
But yes,
oh,
I didn't
Father fucking mercy.
I didn't hate the season, but
I'm
I didn't
sleeping on the couch.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Hope Jimmy's got a spare bed.
I gotta drive all the way to Florida.
Jimmy's got a hurricane coming his way.
I know, that's the thing. Maybe that's the punishment for that Heather sent that way. Yeah.
Jimmy's got to deal with Ian.
But yeah, like I don't think it was the best season of the show, but I had fun watching it.
Yeah.
That's kind of even the last season was like that though. I had fun
watching it.
Not anymore.
One thing I noticed with Karen and I always do this thing. Karen used to work, she's a social worker, and she used to work on the rehab unit at West Jeff, people rehabbing from traumatic brain injuries and stuff like that, and different accidents, whatever.
Are you
and,
referring to what's about to happen to my husband?
Maybe.
Don't fuck with his brain. We needed the bare minimum it is
yeah.
right now.
Neck down.
Yeah.
Like But anyway, like, we were, as we're watching the show, we always tend to, like, pick out, you know, things that happen in movies where people get hit severely in the head and they're just, like, okay, and we're like, yeah, that's a traumatic brain injury. He'd be dead or in rehab. And, I mean, the show has had a lot of that in the past, but, I mean, they also had things where, you know, like, Miguel had that accident and he broke his back, which he did recover from strangely quickly from that. But they've always had, like, consequences of it. In this season, I feel like people were getting, like, full power kicks to the head every 5 seconds, and they're just all fine afterwards. And I'm just like, it's just getting ridiculous.
Because well, they're Karate Man. Karate Man bruise on the inside. They don't show their weaknesses.
I did take karate when I was 7 for, like, a year, okay? And one thing they don't teach you is how to take repeated kicks to the head. They don't teach you how to do that.
Eddie Murphy explained all this in Trading Places. I don't know what
Karate Man bruise on the inside.
That's what I'm trying to say.
No, but you can definitely tell some of the season, and the creators have said that this the finale, they took heavily influence from Avengers Endgame and from like Kill Bill, which there's definitely some scene. You could tell the way they directed certain shots. Yeah. They looked like they were pulled from stuff like that.
The first episode was okay.
I had a good time watching
pain
it.
Pain is weakness leaving the body.
But it's definitely... how did you describe the first season?
Oh, the first season was the best first season of a show in television history.
Right. It's.
Do you still think that?
That single season, yes.
Absolutely.
But that, not the whole show, but that single season, yes.
I just feel like the show has gone a long way from that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew it would never, no show could stay that.
Then it had, well, I mean, that first season, if you remember, was on YouTube Red. So it was. Netflix
but
is in charge.
And I wonder, too, how much of it has to do with the turnaround on the seasons, because they probably had a long time to think about that first season and craft it the way that they wanted to. Then you get, like, we have to do it every year.
I didn't feel like they rushed this season, though.
No, not about rushing it, but, like, they probably had a lot of, like, how does this connect to this?
Yeah. I did read something that they said today that if it does get renewed for another season, it's probably going to be very delayed.
Good.
So. I do kind of hope the next season might be the final one. I don't want them to go forever with this.
No, I agree with you. This is not something that's supposed to be more than, you know, 6, maybe 7 season max.
I would agree with that, yeah. I'd be happy with 6 or 7.
Cool.
Well, a show that I didn't watch without my wife is Andor, the new Star Wars series.
Did y'all watch it together or did you not watch it?
I did not watch it at all.
Okay.
Oh.
I wanted to say to watch it with you. I said, we have to watch Andor. And you were like, yeah.
And I don't know where the hell you fell off with Cobra Kai.
I told you the story. I didn't watch the Game of Thrones without you either, the House of the Dragon.
I will say, if he was going to save one, he saved the better show to watch with you.
Okay. Well, All right. I'm just, you know, now I know when I'm home by myself and you're at work, I'll just sit down and watch all of Cobra Kai by myself.
I'll watch it again.
And probably drink tequila, and then I won't remember half of it, which might be not a bad thing at this point, from what I hear.
It's fun. I have complaints about it, but I had fun watching the entire
season. And the fight scenes were really good, too.
The fight choreography was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And Chosen's in it. So.
Yeah, Chosen is.
And I love the flashback with Sato.
Yeah.
Just FYI, I'm going to reference this back to. Normally, I don't watch shows without my husband if we watch them together. The only reason I watched House of Dragons is because I had to tell my former coworker and my friend that I was leaving work, and that's the thing he chose to watch after I crushed his hopes and dreams of life.
Well, I can tell you that you did watch some shows without me because you finished Sabrina without me. And we were
That's because you stopped watching it.
I didn't stop watching it. You were bored. Home one day and you had watched like 2-3 episodes. You're like, oh, I thought you were done with it. I'm like, no one ever said that.
That's an underrated Harrison Ford movie.
Yeah.
That was a good Harrison Ford. I don't think they're talking about the same thing.
No, we're not.
I'm just.
We're talking about the teenage witch.
Sabrina. That's a good movie.
The dark one.
Yeah, the very dark. Really good show with Sally Draper.
I think it was very underrated
of the
with certain people.
But Cassian Andor.
Yeah.
New Disney Plus Star Wars series featuring spin-off of Rogue One, the prequel to Rogue One featuring Diego Luna's character of Cassian Andor. So
if it wasn't Cassian Andor and it was just like some new character and somebody just said there's a new sci-fi show and had they not mentioned the Empire in it with them, I wouldn't even know it's a Star Wars show.
Interesting.
It doesn't feel like Star Wars at all.
Which I think is by design.
Yeah, and it's...
Well.
Do you think it's a good design?
I enjoyed it.
Here's what I'll tell you. The premiere was disappointing, and I'll tell you why.
Well,
it's not.
Are you talking about just the first episode?
No, three of them.
Oh, really? You watched all three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they were all short. So here's the deal. Like, you remember when Obi-Wan Kenobi came out, and, like, when the first two episodes premiered, when it was over, you realized, like, everything we saw in the trailers was in the first two episodes. And everybody got kind of excited because, like, we don't know what's going to happen. Well, all the cool shit we just saw for Andor, none of it is in the first three episodes. So, like, these three episodes were all set up. And I'm not worried about the show. It's going to be a good show. But, like, when I heard three full episodes are dropping immediately, I got really psyched. And the whole, all three of them are just setting things up.
It should have been an hour and 40 minute, like, premiere episode that was just the prequel to what the show is going to be.
I mean, I think there's a definite reason they released these three.
Right, they didn't need to be in three episodes. No. They could have all been together. It was almost like a movie saying, this is what's going to set up. Because when the third episode ends, it's like a new adventure is about to start.
There's an event that happens in the first episode, and then the whole rest of the first episode and the next two is the repercussions or the aftermath of it, and that's has nothing to do with where the series is going. But
a lot about Cassian.
They're just giving you foreplay. That's all it is.
When you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. Like, and I'm not. I don't want to say like nothing happens, but nothing really happens. They introduce a couple new characters, and it's all about like Cassian trying to do something that he doesn't really get to accomplish until.
Like where he came from.
It's okay. I mean, it's an interesting world that we haven't really seen before in Star Wars, and I mean, that's all. I kind of expected all that because Rogue One was something we had never seen in Star Wars, really. So that I'm not worried about the show. Let's put it that way. I know it's going to be good when it gets into it, especially with the character who shows up in the third episode finally.
Yeah,
because he's going to be awesome.
But I mean, even like when I say you wouldn't even know it's Star Wars, there's even like authority figures that are like trying to find him and catch him over something like that. But they're not Empire.
They're like local police. Yeah. It seems they're like they're trying, security. They're trying to impress the Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get the naked miner from Chernobyl trying to chase after Cassian Andor. That's who that guy was, in case you didn't recognize. The guy, not the skinny one, but the one who we brought in who was all...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the nude miner from Chernobyl. Those guys were like clowns to me. I didn't like the outfits.
I didn't find they were clowns. Like, one of them just... He kind of freaked me out, like that guy with the like pale blue eyes, and he was just like very. I mean, I don't even know how to describe him other than he's like someone that takes his job way too seriously, like one of these cops that you see on the news.
It's like I don't, and maybe they'll get more into it, but it's like, am I supposed to feel sympathy for this guy? Because I'm talking about like he's working this security job, and when the problem is presented to him, I think his reaction is what anybody would react to it. And everybody around him is like, just let it go. It's all good. And they're like, he's like, wait, what? And, you know, I'm not saying I hated it. It just, I think my expectations were way too high because I thought three episodes is going to be.
I thought Stellan Skarsgård was awesome in it when he shows up. I mean, he usually is.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mentioned in the third up when he shows up. It's pretty awesome.
And Diego Luna, I think he's great. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just the way that these episodes, I even told John, like, the way that they were kind of directed, and it almost reminded me more of like a Blade Runner show. Than
especially
a Star
the
Wars
first
show.
Episode.
The way that it was very...
Well, great. That I would say that planet that he shows up on in the yeah, definitely.
It's very, like, gritty and dark. And
that, like, he goes on, like, a brothel kind of thing?
Yeah. It's we've never really seen anything like this. Like, it almost seems more like an HBO Max show, but it's I just think it's great just because it's something different.
It's something different, yeah.
Well, The Minions, Rise of Gru.
Yeah, it premiered on the Peacock, so I watched it with my little girl. She had actually seen it with her grandmother, and she said, we got to watch this. So I watched it, and it was really funny. It was
The trailer looked amazing.
I mean,
it really did.
Well, the problem with the first Minions movie is
no
the
Gru.
Yeah, exactly. The Minions can't really... They need to be supporting characters.
Because they don't speak English.
Because they don't speak English. Yeah, that's exactly right.
He's not wrong.
No, it's just... It's the delivery.
It's the delivery of how, like...
And there are no subtitles.
Nonchalant, but real that
because they don't speak
was.
English.
they don't have the words.
That was a very Shatner delivery.
You know, they talk about bananas sometimes.
And then we know how to spell bananas because, you know, Gwen Stefani in the song. Because everyone was confused up until that point.
She really needs to do more songs with how to spell words, I think. Because I see a lot of misspelled words out there.
Are there bananas in this new one?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
But Gru's in this one, right?
Yes, that's Gru's why it's Baby Gru is actually really funny.
He's a kid. It's still Steve Carell doing the voice. But he's a kid, and he's really funny. Like, he was in the Despicable Me movies.
Now, have you guys, like, watched the... I keep forgetting to ask you guys this. Like, have y'all watched, like, the Lord of the Rings, like... What the hell is it called?
The Ring of Power. They've watched more than I have, actually, because okay. We watched the first
episode. Yeah, we fell the fuck off after the first one, which was great. We caught up with it. It was great. It was a great
and episode. It looks great, but I feel like it's just, like, building up to something that just won't happen.
I'm on the fence. We watched the first episode. I thought it had good parts, it had bad parts, and then me and my girlfriend both decided, let's just wait till it's over and we'll binge the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I think, what we're going in that direction. I don't know why. Because, like I said, I thought the first episode was actually.
You know why I'm glad we decided to do it? Because I don't want to compare it to House of Dragon.
I agree
with you because
it is. That was my biggest complaint when it started. Is like there's a
it's like
House obvious of, lack of gratuitous violence and sex.
Yeah, House of Dragon is like Deadwood, and
well said.
And the Lord of the Rings is kind of like a more sanitized, like an old cowboy movie.
Yeah.
Yes and no. It's just it's got more of the magical feel to it, of course, than House of Dragons. Which how do you get more magical than you know fucking dragons? But at the same you know regard, these are two different worlds here. But right now. What's happening is there's so many shows that are on and movies
it's
coming
too much
out
to watch.
And so much to watch right now. It's like I can't keep up and I can't confuse the two because if I keep watching so many shows, like I could do two shows at once, you know, they come on once a week, whatever, whatever, and I'm totally fine. If I start throwing more stuff in there, I'll start getting plots to every other show confused with that show.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what the fuck is going on.
I mean, you're not wrong, especially for genre shows right now because right now... At the same time, we've got She-Hulk, Andor, Lord of the Rings, and House of Dragon, and now Quantum Leap. They're all genre shows.
I've been falling off with She-Hulk. I've decided after like the third or fourth episode that we've watched, I'm like, I'm gonna wait until it's over with.
Two of them,
and then I'm
just saying it's for a genre show. A genre fan, it's very overwhelming.
Yeah, right like, now. And that's what's happening to me right now because I'm all in the Star Trek and the Star Wars and the fantasy and the this and the that. Like, I'm so into all of that, and I'm like, whoa, I can't be watching all of this at once. I'm gonna get so confused. So I'm like, two shows, I'll watch the rest of them, binge watch them, whatever, and then get on track with it all.
What is your score for the Minions, sir?
I'd probably give it about 10. A 7.
I think that's right around where I gave it.
Nice.
All
right. What about Meet Cute?
So, that is a movie that Karen and I watched the other night because we thought it was. It's called Meet Cute. It's Kaley Cuoco and Pete Davidson. I was like, oh, this is gonna be
it's a peacock film. Right?
Yeah. I was like, it's gonna be a silly little romantic comedy.
I saw that trailer and I thought the same thing. And
it's got some funny stuff in it, but it's a lot more serious than it would lead you to believe because it's. So it's a silly kind of plot. It's almost like a Groundhog Day thing. She plays a character who was like. On the verge of suicide and was like and finds this little nail salon and she goes in the back and there's this what looks like a tanning bed and they're like no that's actually a time machine that the owner bought and he's pissed off about it because it only lets you go back for 24 hours and they're like she's like what and she's like yeah you can try it if you want so she keeps going back and using this thing and finding this guy who she thinks can be the perfect guy for her and it makes her happy for this 24-hour period and she keeps going back trying to change things to make him this perfect guy and by the end of the night she freaks him out at the end of every night because she tells him that she's a time traveler and all of this stuff and it starts out great. I mean it's Pete
Davidson.
Never
supposed to break the fourth wall.
She goes up to him. I mean it's Kaley Cuoco going up to this guy in a bar or whatever like and kind of hitting on him. So, I mean, of course, he's like, yeah, let's you know, hang out and have dinner with her. And by the end of the night, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go, like, every night, because it's crazy. And it gets kind of dark. If I'd known what I just told you beforehand, I might have liked it better, because I was not expecting what I saw.
Gotcha.
Okay. So, but it wasn't really a bad movie. But
so,
it's,
what would the rating be for this, then?
Probably, like, a 6.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anything that's, like, a over a 5, I'll probably give a go.
It was Pete Davidson playing somebody that's pretty normal, which is...
That's weird, yeah.
That's
strange,
weird.
But he did
like, have you
it.
Seen that dude and how he speaks?
Yeah. Kardashians and whatnot. Well, three of us... I'm looking at you two guys, and not Ryan. Went to go see Clerks 3. No, like, we went and see Clerks 3.
I know, I didn't.
Well, you all...
I know.
I know, but I said guys, too. Like, okay, at any rate, Clerks 3.
we saw
Clerks 3.
At the theater.
At the Fathom events, because, it's a Fathom event. And we were trying to see it before it left theaters.
Is it a Fathom event, or was it playing in theaters?
It was a Fathom event.
It was a Fathom event in the theater. But
the way that Kevin Smith does his movies now is he, like, self-distributes. So they go to theaters for a limited time.
Is it
because
he doesn't want studios to mess with his
stuff? No, because no studio's putting it out.
Well, I feel like they would have financing.
They probably
for producing it, but
yeah, it's like they produced it, but they didn't distribute it. And Kevin Smith's doing this thing now where he kind of brings them around himself, where he can. Yeah. And he did it. We saw Yoga Hosers like that, where he comes out and introduces it and then takes a Q&A. So he likes to do that. But Fathom Events put it
and
out.
And I will say, for Yoga Hosers, had Kevin Smith not come out for an hour and a half beforehand, just talking and joking and talking about making this movie and all the ridiculous things that went into it and the ridiculous things that happened in it, then we watched this ridiculous movie and we're like, oh, this is really funny because that's what he was just talking about. Had he not done that, that's probably the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, we probably wouldn't have finished.
Yeah, like the talk that he gave beforehand with that movie was basically like, you know, it's a stupid idea and this is not going to be for a lot of you guys. I'm just letting you know now. He's like, and that's okay if you don't like it. I just was having fun.
He gave some random dude his money back.
Yeah. And the next movie that he was, because he was making like these Canadian movies, which the first one was the Tusk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he made that one. And the next one that he was going to make, I don't know if he's still going to make, was called Moose Jaws. And he's like, yes, it's like the movie Jaws, but with a moose.
he must be great
to be famous, just to be throwing stupid ideas out there. Yeah.
He must be doing too much marijuana these days or something. I swear.
Probably.
He heat the Canadian.
All right, so but, how do we feel about it?
So after Yoga Hosers and then the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, which is pretty much unwatchable, I didn't even finish that one.
Oh, it was bad.
I was like, I went into this and I'm like, I'm really, really worried. And it was not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be.
I don't think it was bad.
Yeah, I don't think it was bad either. It wasn't as good as the first two.
This is kind of how I feel about it, and I told John this. The funny parts are not the strong part of the movie. The dramatic parts are, because the story is, it like Kevin Smith, the Clerk movie specifically, always does it where it's like it's the characters with kind of his, where he is at in life. And this movie, it deals with the fact that he had his heart attack a few years back. And, you know, Randall has a heart attack, and he gets this new lease on life, realizes he hasn't done much with it, so he decides, I've talked about movies my entire life, I'm going to make a movie now, and it's a kind of a meta thing where he's making the original Clerks, but, you know, making it at the convenience store.
About his life working at the convenience store in the movie.
Apparently he's very high these days.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, Kevin Smith definitely is. Yeah. And Jay and Silent Bob have turned the video store into basically a THC, you know, like a weed store. And
they don't seem to understand that that's legal now. So they're just they're trying to do everything shady, and people are like, "Yeah, just give it to me. You can do this now."
But like the funnier parts are not like the strong part. The strong part, Brian O'Halloran, I told John this. His performance is it's amazing. Like I've never thought of him as the greatest actor.
No, me either. Another Clerk movie, I'm like, he's kind of bad in some of these things. He wasn't that great, but I mean,
but there's a few like segments where he gets some.
Yeah,
and Kevin Smith actually talks a little bit about it. There's like a making of after. And he talks about how he's like, I wanted to see them kind of go for it. And him and Jeff Anderson do, like, they have these really good dramatic scenes. And I think that as a completion of the trilogy, it's a nice little capper. I agree. My favorite one is still Clerks 2. Yeah. But I think this is a solid entry. I'd give this about a 7, probably.
Yeah, that's about right. I enjoyed it. And I will say, the one thing that I don't like is it might have made me like Clerks 2. Not like it less, but like there's certain things that happen in the beginning of this movie that like are going to make watching Clerks 2 hard now, because it's like
I can see
some,
that
some sadness.
Yeah,
but
all right, so, Glenn, come on.
Okay,
you got on.
All right, so I will say the beginning of this movie, I was worried because the beginning of this movie I thought was a train wreck.
I didn't think the beginning at the store was a train wreck. I thought once they got to the hospital is where the train wreck began, and I was getting very worried.
Yeah,
too.
Like because what's his name? Justin Long comes out, and it's just weird. It's not
the voice he's doing is unnecessary.
And the stuff with the doctor at first, like
that goes on a bit much. And Amy Sedaris,
it's just
the only thing I can think of, and this may be true or may not be true, because Kevin Smith kind of bases on his experience. I wonder if when he went to the hospital, some weird shit.
Either
was
that,
going
or
on.
He just got really high and thought it was funny.
Honestly, he was like he said that he was very high because he had gotten.
Yeah,
high
I heard
the
story. The
thing, and he said that had he not gotten high, he wouldn't have been as calm, and he would have died.
Right.
So the doctor kind of referenced it. He's like, a good thing that you're so calm.
So like the first probably 15, 20 minutes, I thought we were in for a train wreck. When they started with the actual kind of meta thing of him making Clerks, I thought it was fine. But then like, I don't know. So in the original Clerks, there's a conversation where they talk about Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. And how, you know, one's the happy ending and one's the downer ending. And it's almost like I think Clerks 2 and Clerks 3... or Kevin Smith reflecting on those two feelings. And I don't know, I just like the happy ending better. And yeah. I will say they it was well acted, but I don't know, it was like a little bit, I don't know, I didn't think it needed to be so tragic for a Clerks film. I probably won't watch this again. Not that I really hated it, but it just...
So what is your rating for this overall, then?
That sounds like a 5 to me.
So, yeah.
I was going to give it like a 5.2.
All right.
Very specific.
Yeah.
Like a Richter scale. Yeah. It should Glenn just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah, I'm not going to say this was a terrible movie.
Before he got to the hospital, I thought it was kind of funny, because it was kind of like just the Randall and what's Elias, the bickering that they were having in Clerks 2.
Right.
And that's what led to him having a heart attack. And I thought this was kind of funny, but yeah, when he got there, it got really weird for a little while. Like, when he gets there, like, Amy Sedaris plays the doctor, and when she first walks in, she's dressed like a witch, right?
Yeah, and she's even got the fingers
it's
from,
like this crazy, like, witch costume.
But she's got the fingers from WandaVision and everything, and it's just really weird.
And I think she does say that she just came from a party, and then once they get to, like, the operating room, she's wearing scrubs and everything, and it's... But it was just really weird when they got there.
And I think the stuff with Jay and Silent Bob, like, I mean, they've always kind of sold weed, but the Clerks movies have never been, like, Cheech and Chong, like a marijuana movie.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a little much. I don't know. Again, it's not that I really hated this movie. I just...
Yeah.
I don't...
You probably didn't enjoy it as much as you thought you would.
Yeah, that's probably... And I will say, it's not unwatchable, because I was kind of worried, especially at the beginning, that it was going to be, like... hard to watch. And it's, I mean, we watched the whole thing.
And I think, honestly, after the last couple of movies that he made, I was just kind of relieved when I watched this one, because it wasn't unwatchable.
Right. So, yeah, that's my take on Clerks 3.
All right. Cool.
Well, now it is time to nominate this week's Awesome Villager. Gentlemen, who are your nominees? And Glenn, why is yours Kevin Smith?
No, I think I'm actually going to nominate Raymond Lee from Quantum Lee. I didn't really enjoy the Kevin Can Go F Himself show, but I thought he was good in it.
I only watched like 3 episodes.
But I think he kind of had some pretty big shoes to fill, because, I mean, Scott Bakula, he's a national treasure. But I just think he's just a very likable character.
Yeah.
And I just found him very relatable in everything going through these first 2 episodes of Quantum Leap. It's just, I can't wait to go through the series with him, just because... He's so damn likable and charming, and like I said, that's why I'm nominating Raymond Lee. And plus, he was in Top Gun Maverick. So.
He was. I'm going to nominate Stellan Skarsgård from Andor, just because he's awesome in everything. And I never really think about it until I see him in something. I'm like, oh yeah, he's good in everything. I don't remember when he wasn't good in something. I just recently rewatched The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and he's very good in that.
He's good in Mamma Mia, too.
He is.
I'm going to nominate Evan Peters from Dahmer.
I'm sorry, I can't let this go. Y'all didn't say Deep Blue Sea. He was great in that. Okay, Greg.
I kind of forgot he was in Deep Blue Sea.
How can you forget that?
Why are we going out of order? What the hell happened to Ryan just now?
Nothing
happened to me. We don't necessarily go in an order for Awesome Villager. We kind of bounce around. Yeah.
Weirdos.
But Evan Peters, for me, if you haven't seen his performance in Dahmer, again, several other performances you probably have seen him in, and the guy is a phenomenal actor, but this is a career-making performance. Like, if this was like a film that he was acting in, it would totally be an Oscar-worthy performance. It definitely should get him some sort of Emmy. It's that good. Evan Peters.
I'm going to nominate Diego Luna from Andor, because he was good in Andor.
The show that you just complained about?
I did complain about it, but I didn't complain about his acting. And he's amazing, as John can attest to, in Narcos Mexico.
Oh, yeah, he was.
So I've always been a big fan of his work. He's also good in The Terminal.
He was really good in the Terminal.
A lot of people forget about all the... What's her face? Zoe Saldana.
She's the Trekkie.
Yeah, so I mean, like, there's a lot of really cool performances in that movie.
It's an underrated film.
Yeah.
Caracosia.
All right, so there you go.
Well, I'm going to nominate, since I'm here, Matt Smith for his performance in House of Dragons.
Performance?
Yeah, because... I think he performs very well. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Anyways,
he probably does.
Yeah.
All seriousness, though. No,
it's bigger
like,
on the inside.
Oh, Lord. Here we go. No, but, like, all seriousness, I think, like, as this character goes along, and, like, I haven't seen him in a while do something that I feel like he was very passionate about or really had his hands in.
He was good in The Crown.
He was also...
Well, I didn't watch The Crown.
Last Night in Soho he was really good in, too.
I didn't see that.
So you should totally watch
that. Okay, so yeah, that's a definitely, like, get kind of drunk kind of movie and watch it.
just to I relax. Recorded it the other night on DVR. Really
but yeah, Matt Smith, I think he should go for this because he's had his hand in this character a lot deeper than most, I think, and he's just very good at this role that he's playing. So
I didn't see Morbius, but I did see his dance scene in Morbius, which was
I haven't seen Morbius either, but I know it's on Netflix.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I have seen
I want to hit Morbius hard because I keep hearing mixed reviews, and I just want to make my own assessment.
I mean, I've seen his dance scene, which was pretty epic. He has a musical, like, dance scene.
That has me so excited, and I don't even know why.
All right, so if you have to nominate someone other than your own, who would it be and why?
I'm going to vote for Diego Luna. And honestly, I wasn't going to until Ryan just reminded me that he was in Narcos Mexico. And I was like, oh yeah, he was awesome in that.
I'm going to vote for Skarsgård.
Yeah.
I think I was going to go for Skarsgård too, because one thing we did not... He was so good in Good Will Hunting, too.
Oh, he was.
God,
Oh, yeah.
And Ronan.
Yeah.
This is about my medal. You can have it.
But you're
about your fucking Fields medal.
He's always good.
And he has, in the first Thor movie, is one of my favorite scenes when him and Thor are coming back drunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they drank, they fought, they made their ancestors proud.
I'm going to have to go with Matt Smith because one of my favorite doctors. But also, yeah, this performance has been pretty crazy. And I haven't seen the time jump episode, but that previous episode, there's this one scene where I'm like, you know, there's so many layers to a performance that's basically silent.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
No, he's definitely good in the Houses and the Dragons.
There was the silent part that you're talking about, and then also the part where the guy kind of confronts him when he's sitting at the table, and he just, the way he talks back to the guy is
yeah, that was fantastic. Was really I would probably say, if I couldn't nominate, probably Diego. Yeah. Because I think you're spot on with his performances in movies and whatnot, because I've seen most of them, so I agree with that.
So Diego Luna has what?
We got a tie.
We got a tie? Oh, even with the odd number of people, we've got a tie.
Yeah, we fuck up everything.
How the hell did we do that this time?
We're very talented in our fucking up of things.
Does anyone want to?
I will change my vote.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
To Diego Luna.
No, we should have just fought it out. Threw a pool stick, broken in half.
I'll change my... Well, Diego Luna can't fight it out, so we'll he's not here.
Trial by combat.
Yeah. To fight poor Stellan Skarsgård. That would be a fascinating fight.
I don't think Skarsgård had a shot in that.
It may happen in the show later. We don't know what's going to happen.
That's true.
Was he in the King Arthur movie?
He was.
And he fought in that, didn't he?
He did fight in that.
All right. Well, remember, there are many ways to find us. Anchor Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and a host of other platforms. And as always, you can listen to us on theawesomevillage.com, where when you do help us out. It's been another phenomenal week. This has been Greg.
Ryan.
John.
Glenn.
Heather.
We will see you next week.